Look at Exodus 17 again. Exodus chapter 17. We started this Wednesday night, Smitten Rock. And I thought of this passage. Someone sent me an email, and I immediately thought of this name. Exodus 17. Verse 15, Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which means the Lord, my banner or flag. The Lord, my flag. We read in Isaiah, wasn't that wonderful, Isaiah 11? The Lord, an ensign, same word, flag. The Lord, my banner. The one I follow. The one I pledge allegiance to. A patriot, you know, is someone who defends the honor, who loves and supports and defends their country. Well, the Lord is our banner. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And love to him, his glory and his honor. I'm sure most of you have seen a military funeral. Your dad had a flag on his coffin, didn't he? Did not. I've been to several military funerals where a veteran or someone who served in the armed forces was buried with full military honors, where they put the flag over the coffin, flag-draped coffin, and 21-gun salute, seven men. You and I went Dan Park's father funeral. 21-gun salute, seven men with rifles, fire their rifles three times. 21 guns by tradition. And then they play that mournful bugle, taps, a call to rest. And there's nothing more touching, nothing more memorable. I remember it quite well in my brother's funeral as a 14-year-old boy. It left an impression upon me. Chills, I get still when I see it now or hear it, it sends chills up my spine. And you watch that flag or that casket being brought in with a flag over it covered with that flag, and hear that gun, those guns fire, and those taps, farewell to a fallen comrade. It's a fitting tribute, really, to someone who gives their life and the sacrifice of their country for the freedom that we enjoy. It's a fitting tribute. And for that reason, it angers me when people desecrate that flag. They really do. That people died to give them the freedom to do that. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. This is not the flag I'm flying this morning. There's something that happened. It's a far greater honor and service and sacrifice. It's the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for his people, laying down his life in service to his Father, to his people, his country, his kingdom, his people. Laid down his life. You know, the red in our flag stands for blood. You know how much blood has been shed in wars, and men and women defending our country. And so they draped that flag over the body of one who's... Well, our Lord's body was covered in his own blood. His garments dyed red with his own blood in sacrifice to his country. Now, the story here is of a great battle, and a victory won by Joshua. That's the story. That's the story of the Bible. We talked this morning about comfort. Isaiah said, comfort ye my people. Speak to their hearts. Speak ye comfortably unto them. Say unto them, first thing, here's your comfort. The warfare is accomplished. The war is over. And our captain won. Obtained the victory. Defeated our adversary. This is not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a parable. This is the truth. The truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at this. This is the story of Christ crucified. Joshua represents. The rod represents. Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. My brother and I were talking yesterday how that our tempting God, our unbelief, our tempting Him, His children don't get by with anything. You know that? He hath not dealt with us after our sins. No, we've received the Lord's hand double for all our iniquity. Christ paid for our sin. But He deals with us righteously. And He chastens. He sends things. And verse 7, look at this. Verse 7, He called the place Massa. That is temptation. The people didn't believe Him. They tempted Him. And Meribah, chiding or strife because of their murmuring, because of their complaining, because of their temptation, all that. And after all that God did, smiting the rock, giving them bread to eat, they still said in verse 7, is the Lord among us or not? When are you going to believe Him, Israel? When are you going to trust Him? And so what happened? What did God do? Sent the Amalekites. Look at the next verse. Then came Amalek. An enemy. It was Solomon, you know, that the Lord, because Solomon went after strange gods and so forth, God raised an adversary. He didn't kick him out, but Solomon vexed God, so God vexed him. Do things vex us? Well, they ought to. Because we vex our God. It's David, after all that God did for him, sinned against God. So what did God do? He raised up adversaries in his own house. But He did not deal with him after that sin, did He? He didn't cut him off. He didn't kick him out. Nevertheless, there were things that vexed him. The Amalekites came. Amalek. Now, Amalek here is a descendant of Esau. He's an illegitimate son. Amalek was an illegitimate son of a concubine of Esau's son. He's not a child of a legal child at all. He's a bastard. Amalek. That's who he is. He's this illegitimate son of Esau. Who's Esau? God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. God has a people that He chose. His elect. They're called the sons of Jacob. And He loves them. Esau have I hated. They're not God's children. Jacob's his children. And God chose Jacob, but not Esau. And Amalek represents the sons of men. Amalek represents this world. Amalek represents that old man in you. Jacob and Esau were twins. They were twins. They were bosom brothers. Came out of the same womb. What made the difference? God made the difference. God. Sovereign electing love. Set His love on Jacob, not Esau. He left Esau alone. He would not leave Jacob alone. He would not leave Jacob to himself. And there's two men inside of every believer. There's a new man in Christ, and there's an old man. And that old man is your enemy. He's your sworn enemy. Esau hated Jacob, and he went after him. And that old man is out to get you. But I love Brother Brother David Edmonds has been saying this a lot. He says, God's out to do you good. That's the way he put it. He's out to do you good. Well, God does whatever he's out to do. You know that? And that old man's out to get you. He ain't going to do it. Well, who's going to fight him? Did we in our own strength confide, our fighting would be losing. We're not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Who's that? Joshua. Moses chose. And some men to help him. Amalek represents this world. Amalek represents the men of this, the people of this world, the things of this world. Amalek represents sin and that old man in us, that man of sin. All right, look at verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, and by the way, you know, have you ever thought, if I could just be without sin, if I could just be without temptation, if I could just be without these things, I would be fine. My life would be just fine. No, you'd forget God. They will. Because these things vex you like Lot in Sodom. Don't they vex you? And what do? You're standing in the gate waiting on the Lord to come get you. Help me, help me. You wouldn't call on God for everything if you didn't have any trials and troubles and tribulations. You wouldn't call on God. All right, verse 9. Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Moses is the lawgiver. This was God's word to his people through this man. Christ is all the, he's all this. You know, he's Moses, he's the rod, he's Joshua. He's the rock, he's the stone. He's everything. Christ is all. But Moses represents God's word here, God's law. He said to Joshua, it's the first mention of Joshua. You know that? First mention of Joshua in Scripture. Here it is. Joshua, the obedient servant of the lawgiver, Joshua sent. What's his name mean? Jehovah saves. Joshua was sent, called by God to go out and fight with Israel's enemies. Well, that's our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is Joshua, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. When this, in the end of this story, it sounds like Joshua defeated all those Amalekites by himself. It says Joshua discomfited them. Joshua brought them down. Joshua killed the enemy. Why does it say that? Because Jesus Christ really did by himself defeat our enemy. All right, look at verse 9. It says, I will stand on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You remember God saying, I'll stand there upon the rock? God said, I'll stand there on the rock of Horeb, right there, and you'll smite the rock. God was in Christ. Christ is that rock. Well, Moses, and the Lord says, I will come down and stand with you on a rock. Chapter 33, well, here he tells Moses, you stand on that rock. On the hill of God. What's that hill? Mount Calvary. A hill called Golgotha. That's where God was. That's where Christ was. Mount Zion. That's where God has promised to be and stand there. And he's got the rod. The rod in his hand. Look at verse 10. So Joshua, the rod of God in his hand. Joshua did as Moses had said to him. He stood there. Joshua went out to fight that enemy, Amalekite. As the obedient servant, fought with the enemies of God, fought the battles for them. While Moses, it says, in verse 10, Aaron and Hur all went to the top of the hill and stood there on that hill. And there stood Moses with the rod of God in his hand. And his other hand, I believe, was lifted up toward heaven also. And on his right hand was Joshua, on his left hand was Aaron, the high priest, and on his left hand was Hur. Okay, there he stands with that rod, holding up that rod. while Joshua was fighting this battle. What is that? That rod is the word of God. That rod is the truth of God. That rod is the gospel of God. That rod is the cross of Christ. That rod is Christ himself. Didn't you read that? It's become a rod out of the root of Jesse, a rod. That rod is, as it were, and later on God said, this is the flag. This is the ensign. This is the banner. This is the thing you look to, or rather the one you look to. In looking to it, you'll be saved, like the serpent on the pole later on. For all to see, the word of God, the gospel of God, the truth of God, the Christ of God, Christ and him crucified. Moses, I'm sure, held up his hands high with that rod in his hand for all to see. Everyone needs to see this rod. Down through years, flags, countries have flown flags. And particularly in battle, our star-spangled banner was written when there was a great war being fought, right? Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner still fly? Is it still flying? Can you see the star-spangled? Can you see it? They flew these flags. There would be a flag bearer. It was a man. He was out in front of everybody. And he had this flag on a pole. Number one, it united everybody. It united everybody, this flag. Everybody gathered around the flag. Everybody got behind the flag, okay? Number two, it encouraged everybody. It encouraged everybody. As long as the flag was flying, everything's okay. The enemy hasn't taken our flag. Because that's what the enemy does. When he conquers, the first thing you do is take your flag down and put his flag up. Are you with me? Okay? And it encourages those behind. You know, if the flag would fall in a battle, someone else would pick it up. Like Elisha with the mantle of Elijah. What's the mantle? What's the flag? What's the cause? What do we gather around? Christ. I told you I got an email from someone, and this man claims to be a believer, and he was going to Washington with that group of people to protest. He wanted me to pray for him. And the man that they were to follow in that group said the man would be flying a flag with President Trump's picture on it, riding on a dinosaur. Now, you know how disappointed I was that he would want me to pray for him for that. And I told him, I wrote him back, I said, I'll pray for you all right. I'll pray that the Lord will show you that that's not the cause that we're all about. The cause of Christ is our cause. We don't follow a man. We don't follow a flag with a man's picture on it. Christ is our banner. Jehovah Nissi, it's his cause. We're not taken up with. Our Lord himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, Christ said, my servants would fight, but it's not, so we're not fighting that cause. But we are set for the defense of the gospel. This is the fight. When David stood before Goliath, the Philistine giant, he said, is there not a cause? What was David's cause? He said, he's defied the God, my God. He's defied God's people. I'm going to take his head off. You? Yeah, one little stone will fell him. One little word will fell him. That's what you played. Martin Luther's great. One little word will fell him. We rally around the cause of Christ, the gospel of Christ. That's the kingdom we fight for. Army that we're in, isn't it? The gospel, the word, the gospel is the word. The word of God is the gospel, is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we hold it high. Rather, Him. We hold Him high. What did Christ say? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. Like that serpent on the pole. And when held high, if people will look to Him, we'll get courage. We'll be united to Him. We'll have peace. We'll see. Like Joshua, He's our captain. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And God upholds all things by His Word. He upholds all things by His Christ. And the Word lifted up. Oh, brethren, that's who I preach. That's who we preach, isn't it? The rod of God. So Joshua did as Moses told him to do, verse 10. And Christ came down here to do as God, what God sent him to do. Did He do it? This is all our comfort, all our assurance. Did He do it? Yes, He did. Well, it says Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Where does God dwell? Mount Zion, among His people. And Moses was holding up that rod. Moses was just a man. Joshua's the one out there fighting. Moses represents the preacher of the gospel. Moses was a prophet. Joshua represents Christ out there fighting our battles. And Moses held up that rod, and there were two men helping him, supporting him, holding up his arms to do what? To hold up the rod. That's what he was to do. How long? Long as it takes. Until the enemies are gone. Till the battle's over. Hold up the rod. It says, well, verse 11, it came to pass, Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. He let down his hand, the enemy prevailed. What's that? Brothers and sisters, the gospel is the power of God. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel, which is Christ crucified, who overcame the world, who destroyed Satan. Our enemy, who put away our sins. If I don't preach the gospel, we fail, don't we? The enemy will have us. Doubts and fears and worries and our sins will plague us and vex us and the world will trouble us and all that. We think we're all going to be destroyed, aren't we? But if I keep holding up Christ, look, He shall not fail. He hath not failed. He did not, He does not, He shall not fail. Till all His people are into His kingdom and the enemy is completely destroyed. This is my job. What's your job? What's your job? Hold up my hand. Moses got tired. He got weary. Verse 12, his hands were heavy. Oh, my. You know, we all have jobs we get tired of. Everything's tiresome. Much studies, weariness of the flesh, and on it goes. And you think, I'm quitting. I want to quit. I'm tired. No, brother, don't quit. Don't quit now. You're almost there. It's almost over. Here, I'll hold your hands up. How do you hold up my hands? Prayer. Prayer. Look what they did for Moses, verse 12. Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone, put it under him. Moses, you sit on this stone. Sit. Just rest on this stone. We'll hold your hands up. That stone, stones everywhere in there. Jacob was resting on it. God was standing on it. Moses is sitting on it. A stone everywhere. What stone? It was there all along. Here, Moses, sit on this stone. Rest. You hold your hands up. Aaron and Hur. Aaron's the priest. Hur is a priest also. But they represent the law and the prophets. They represent the apostles and the prophets. They represent the word of God. They represent the grace and peace of God. They represent mercy and truth, righteousness and peace. They represent so many things. All of which holds up the truth. Holds up the truth. So, says Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on the one side, other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Long time. Stood there. Well, what happened? As long as he's holding that rod up for all to see. Look at it. Verse 13. Joshua discomfited Amalek, meaning he destroyed him. He put him down with the edge of a sword. With the edge of a sword. Go back to Isaiah 11 that Brother Ron read. Let's go back there and look at that again in light of this. It says this rod that Moses was holding up, and Joshua discomfited Amalek, the enemy of God's people, with the sword. Look at that. Isn't this wonderful? It says that our Lord Jesus Christ, and my, didn't it go with Colossians 2, understanding and wisdom and all that? Verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, of the fear of the Lord, and it shall make him of quick understanding. In the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. That is, he looks on the heart. And with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he'll smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And where's the verse that speaks of the sword? Somebody help me here. I didn't write it down. It says the sword. It says his rest will be glory. Verse 10, in that day there'll be a root of Jesse to stand for an ensign, a flag, a banner to all of God's people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. That is Christ crucified. And his rest shall be glorious. 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 And down in verse 15, the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, Calvary's tree. All that he did to accomplish our salvation. And here's what the Lord said. Go back to our text. Back to our text, verse 14. For the Lord said unto Moses, Joshua destroyed Amalek. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Write this in a book for everyone to read from all eternity and give it to Joshua for a memorial. And our brothers and sisters, this whole book is a memorial. It's all about Christ and him crucified it. How he fought our battle for us, our enemy, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and upholds all things by the word of truth, the gospel. And it's in a book. It's in a book. And he says, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. There's going to be a day when he's gone completely. Won't you be glad when that happens? And so Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, Lord our banner. There are several scriptures that say this. One in particular I love, Psalm 60. If you want to read later on for yourself, Psalm 60, read the whole psalm. It's right after David went out and destroyed 50,000 people. Gettysburg, in 3 days, about 50,000, wasn't it? Sea of blood. David thought everybody was out to get Israel. Everybody. David defeated every one of them. Every one of them. He fought all his life, David, all his life, till he was about 68 years old. Then the Lord gave him rest from all his enemies. But his whole life, from the time he was 16, was spent fighting God's enemies. And they never did defeat him. No man took his life from him. But God laid it down. That's a picture of Christ, the son of David. In Psalm 60, God says, he says, you've given a banner. Thou hast given a banner. David said this after that battle. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of truth. Here's the banner. Here's the flag that we fly. Because of truth. Selah. Stop. Just stay right there. And pledge allegiance to that one who laid down his life for you. The cross. This is why Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything. I've got no causes but one. The cause of Christ. And we hold forth this gospel. We set forth Christ, the gospel of Christ, Him crucified. You know, I told you about a military funeral. And what they do after that funeral is over, that flag-draped coffin, two men reverently and respectfully, men of honor, men of courage, comrades in arms. They'll step to take white gloves on. We're not going to touch that flag or desecrate that flag with our filthy hands. And they both stand. You've seen this? They both stand over that coffin and raise it reverently. Well, this person died for this. And I'm talking now about Christ. Sure. And they'll take that flag up and stretch it tight. Don't let it hit the ground. It's not going to hit the ground. And they'll begin to fold it. You know, God's going to fold this earth up like a vesture. Done with it. But His banner is going to fly at the top of it all forever. And those two men, reverently, with those white gloves on, in full honor, not smiling, not laughing. This is not fun and games. This is serious. Somebody laid down their life. And they'll fold that flag up carefully. And they'll walk toward each other, folding that flag. And they'll get it to where those stars are showing. What are stars all about? Huh? One thing. Set forth Christ. All right, then one of those soldiers will take that flag. You seen that? He'll take that flag and put it against his chest, against his heart. And you're seeing this? And then you know what he'll do? He'll take that flag over. And if the man that died was married, he'll give it to his bride. Here. That's your banner. That your loved one died for. Hold it dear. Don't let anybody desecrate it. This is the memory of the one that died for you. Dare we do anything in any way, in any fashion, but preach the gospel of Jesus Christ who died for me? This ain't fun and games. This ain't about you and me. It's about Him. And this is the banner. This is the cause. This is our cause, isn't it? God help us to never lay it down. But let us die for the same cause. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, Brother John, you come.